Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. It's Wednesday today, 23rd of October, 2024. The year is nearing its end as we speak. Only 2 months and nearly eight days left. And a lot of things are happening. One of the most important events of this year, BRICS Summit, that is, we were just talking about it, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The conference is happening. We'll talk a lot about it in detail. But first, let's talk about something that is happening in the way. Recently, Jitex ended, Jitex Global 2024, which was accompanied by Expand North Star, a very big conference under Jitex for startups. That ended, but Dubai, there's always something happening. It's never quiet time here. So now there's a Cardano summit that has started today, and it's a two-day event. And the main information about it is that it's a very big blockchain event. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things that's going to be happening. As you said, it's a blockchain event, which is very exciting because, yeah, you know, like this, for this year, it's going to be held in Festival City, apparently.
Your mic. Turn it on. And apart from that, October 23, 24, this is happening. It's happening at the Intercontinental Dubai Festival City. So that's one thing. Apart from that, there's 100 speakers that are coming here, more than 10,000 attendees they're expecting from 25 plus industries. The summit will feature keynote sessions, panels, masterclasses, a lot of things. But the key highlights are the networking, breakfasts, the gala dinners, because usually you get a very good chance of talking to the main people, main important people in the blockchain world. CEO of Binance, Richard Teng, is there. The Cardano Foundation, I'll also talk about what Cardano Foundation is. It's an independent nonprofit organization based in Switzerland, created in 2017, and the primary mission is to advance Cardano as a public blockchain infrastructure. If we go into the detail of what a blockchain infrastructure is, it will going to take like 2-3 hours. Again, a lot of details, but it's mainly about crypto, blockchain, all the things that are related to Web3 as well. So this event is happening. We have great speakers here. The Abu Dhabi Crypto Center head is here. I have the link open. Again, I'll read the names properly. Frederick Gregard, CEO of the Cardano Foundation. Obviously, he will be there because his foundation is doing the event. Director of Abu Dhabi Global Market. We've talked a lot about it on the show. A lot of big companies are moving to the Abu Dhabi Global Market. Dmitry Fedotov is here. Richard Teng, CEO of Binance. Binance is one of the biggest. It's not one of the biggest. It's actually the biggest crypto exchange by capital. So the CEO is there. So a lot of people are there. What do you think? It's a good event.
I think it
big
is.
Event and for blockchain, maybe.
Look, to be honest with you, when you think of blockchain, people who don't really quite understand it might fear it. However, I think that this event is very important because that's the future of investing and that's the future of finance in the world. As you said, the event is going to be very beneficial for those who are actually understanding of the future of you know
what the industry is.
100% because like you know there is you people are going to be learning how to invest through the ecosystem approach as well.
There's a lot of masterclasses.
A lot of classes such as well leveraging technology for positive change, which we can by the way see on their website and as well how to market. A world where algorithms drive economic opportunities, because at this point, it's very important to understand the economy, whether you are in any work environment or workforce, it's very important. I feel like it leads a lot of things, you know what I mean? Because as well, it can be applied on different criteria.
A lot of big people from the blockchain world, mostly when I see the list of speakers, they're mostly CEOs.
So
is their CEO of Design Time. Stephen Gartner is their head of Timers. We'll talk about it on our post and in news as well. As things happen, if there is a big development coming out of it, we'll obviously report it on our social media. So you can always follow us on that. So this is happening. We'll keep an eye out on it. We'll keep an eye out on the day two of it. And after that, we'll do a whole summary of what happened there, what were the main decisions, news coming out of there. Let's move on to something move on from blockchain towards the global chain.
Global chain, which is BRICS, the BRICS Summit.
BRICS Summit is happening. BRICS Summit, again, the five big countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China. India and China, very important because they're like nearly 10 to 15, 20% of the population of the world. 1.2 and 1.4 billion each. The whole population is nearly 8 million. So yeah, they make a very big part of the world, and eventually they make a very big part of the economy as well. So they're converging there. Apart from that, the new members, which is Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, UAE, and Saudi Arabia, they're joining. I read somewhere that Brazil president won't be coming because he got an injury, a head injury or something. Someone else is coming. But a lot of people, nearly 36 world leaders, heads of states, they've converged in Russia, in Kazan. And they're going to discuss a lot of things. It's not only trade and tourism and basically anything that can be talked
they
about.
Want they want to talk about it. Because like I was like reading about it, they all met in Moscow, Russia, at the Kremlin, where Putin actually does hold most of the meetings. If you guys don't know what the Kremlin is it's a complex
it's
in
like,
Russia where President Vladimir Putin gets all of the leaders and they talk about really important stuff. And as well, the UAE as well was welcomed there. And
our president is there.
The president was there. Yeah. And they were discussing about peace and how they can incorporate peace. Yeah. Of course, you know, a lot of things are going to be talked about because like the meeting was held for so long because it was said that the president, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed stayed there. Till after midnight at the Putin's residence, which is the Kremlin. And for sure, like when you think about that, they'd not only talk about discussing the peace after what's happened between Russia and Ukraine, however, as well, you know, like with economy and how they can improve economy and how can all the countries that are participating can benefit.
So, BRICS Summit this year, the most important thing that I could see they can discuss is BRICS Pay. We were talking about it before the show as well. So, what happens in the world is usually people trade in dollars, in the US dollar. There's a concept of international dollar. We'll explain it someday. I'll explain it someday. We'll talk about that as well. But mainly, the US dollar is a benchmark for trade. Everyone uses that. BRICS countries are trying to create a centralized system where they can trade with each other in their local currencies. So, for example, Russia and India, if they want to do trade, Russia will pay in rubles, India will pay in Indian rupees, and they will create a system which helps them regulate the fluctuations in currencies. Because according to, if they do trade in dollars, their currency, if it goes down, they face a loss in comparison to dollar.
True.
So they're trying to regulate it. Most probably what will happen is, according to reports and all, the hundreds of articles that are being that have been done on BRICS Pay, the main idea is they'll set a standard of conversion for 2 or 3 years, and that standard of conversion will be used. For example, if Russian 1 ruble is equal to 5 Indian rupees, not saying correctly, I don't know right now exactly the conversion. For example, so if 1 Russian ruble is equal to 3 or 5 Indian rupees, that standard will set for the next 2 or 3 years, and then the trade will happen on those rates. So it'll be good for both of the countries and eventually the region as well, because them earning at a standard rate will help.
That's true. I agree with that. I love the fact that, you know, they all met together to set that standard, because then, you know what, it will, let's say, like if India is there to, like, I don't know, invest in like Russia, and it's going to be investing with like Indian rupees, it would not be losing, because like that's the rate that they are actually getting the money. You know what I mean? It would be unfair if they would be, let's say, paying the amount according to, let's say, like in Russian.
Yeah.
You know, that would be like unfair. But no, I think that's like actually a good point made. As we said, you know, they for sure do not only discuss politics, they discuss even economy.
So yeah, a lot of discussions will take place on trade, economy, tourism, bilateral trades, maybe side events. They'll discuss a lot of countries can have the opportunity, because the head of states combining together at one place, they can have separate discussions country to country as well. The group was formed in 2006. It has a very nice history. Basically, they wanted to end West's dominance in global politics and economic affairs, and mainly economic affairs, because money runs the world. But yeah, this year is, again, it's significant because of another thing that Russia's invasion in Ukraine has happened. For I told you that our president, UAE president, His Highness, UAE took part in a lot of prisoner swaps.
Yes,
they actually started the talks. They were mediators in the talks. So UAE played a very good role, and Russian president, he thanked our UAE president for it before the Kazan summit, before the BRICS summit in Kazan. And they opened Sheikha Fatima, Her Highness Sheikha Fatima, center in Moscow school as well, where they're teaching Arabic to Russian kids. And likewise, they will set up something here as well, and kids here will be able to learn Russian. So it's an educational collaboration that is going on. Apart from that, when they met on Sunday, I remember, for the first time, Russian president told our UAE president that the trade has tripled between UAE and Russia in the last 3 years. So a lot of big numbers, a lot of big information coming out of it. BRICS summit continues. Today is day two. Tomorrow is day three. It will continue. We will see a lot of big news coming out of it. We'll report on it. You can always follow us on social media. Again, pitching that in. So yeah, this is happening. Anything important that I'm missing from the big story? The primary focus, again, is on reducing dependency on Western financial system, particularly US dollar and the SWIFT payment network. Russia was taken out of the system after they invaded Ukraine. So now with India and China, two of the world's largest growing economies, actually China shouldn't be called a growing economy, it's already grown so much. They're questioning the, what do you say, monopoly of US. But again, these big countries coming together is a big sign that the power dynamics are shifting towards East.
I mean, look, we said that, you know what I mean? Like, I strongly believe that when the UAE has participated in the BRICS summit, and as you said earlier, that with His Highness implementing some, like, allowing Arabic to be implemented in Russia, and as well Russian, the Russian language is implemented here in the UAE. I think that this is all like hand in hand, you know what I mean? And we know that the UAE is out there just like to improve and to reach the maximum level of its economy, highness, for sure.
All their goals they have set.
Yes,
they are doing business with everyone right now.
100% for the for its own sake. Now, we know that Putin created the summit, as you said, in 2006, and the only aim of the summit is to discuss political and economical issues. And in this term, in this summit, I don't think that they discussed, for sure, as you said, they exchanged prisoners and they made sure that the peace is there, because the UAE thinks about all the time about peace and living in harmony and living in tolerance together. So it's not only about discussing the diplomatic you know, like connections and affairs that's happening between them, but as well, they discussed a lot of like money, you guys.
It's mainly discussed money.
Yes,
so BRICS trying to create a multipolar world, one, and BRICS trying to create a central system. It's not a name, it's not an official name, BRICS Pay. They're discussing the name, what they will call it, but every report that you read on BBC, Bloomberg, wherever, we're calling it BRICS Pay for now, unofficially. It was coined by someone and it caught on. So that's the main important things. It has been there since 2006, but now it's gaining more importance, the BRICS group. So let's see what happens. Again, we'll tell you all about it as soon as something big comes out. Talking about economy, let's move on to UAE now. Take a turn and come to the Middle East. UAE's non-oil economy is reportedly going to grow 4% in 2025, and it's mainly driven by investment and the real estate boom. So UAE's non-oil economy projected to expand by 4% in 2025, the next year, and this was reported by the National Bank of Kuwait's UAE Macro Outlook report. UAE, every bank has a report which comes out every year, and National Bank of Kuwait's UAE Macro Outlook report says they will, their non-oil economy, UAE's non-oil economy, will grow 4%. Key sectors which will fuel this growth include financial markets and real estate. Real estate again, very big. And in the report, they've talked about Dubai, which equity market grew by 8.5%. Mainly, the real estate sales rose 30% in the first 9 months of 2024. So all this money coming in through the equity markets and real estate from foreign investors, it sees a lot of influx of cash and money into the UAE. And that is why they think that non-oil economy will grow 4% in 2025.
I agree with you. And as well, by the way, like this growth is very significant because it will be reflecting among strong investor confidence and as well, especially in high return areas, as you said, like luxury real estate. And we talked about that, by the way, like the luxury real estate.
Yesterday we talked about one of the projects that is being launched in Abu Dhabi.
Yes, for sure. Because, like, you know, they the fact that the UAE, we know that the UAE's economy is growing, real estate is growing as well with it, and now luxury real estate is making its like its step, it's stomping its like feet here. And of course, as you said, the growth of the non-oil sector as well aligns with the World Bank's forecast of a 4.1 rise in the GDP, highlighting the UAE's successful diversification strategy. And let me tell you, I know that we have mentioned this number a lot over and over and over and over again, but this will all align for their 2030 strategy, because all that they're thinking about is how to increase oil, increase economy, increase peace, increase tolerance. And while the non-oil sector, of course, as well, drives most of the expansion, the oil sector is expected to rebound with a 7.8%, which is a huge number in the output with OPEC Plus, as they say, as production cuts.
Basically, what was happening was, in very simple words, due to the tensions in the Middle East, the oil prices were fluctuating. They were up one day, down one day. Mm-hmm. The demand rose, demand came down. It was in a state of fluctuation. So OPEC, which is like a coalition of all the oil producing companies, they said that they'll produce less oil because, again, there's so many problems going on that getting out oil is difficult. And also there was a problem with supply and demand. So oil they were producing was not able to go to the places where it should. So it was kept in stock and was being wasted or was sitting there uselessly. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to cut the production down, and they did. So eventually, if you don't produce more oil, you won't sell it, you won't get money.
That's true.
But next year, hopefully, they're trying to get it back up. So this is one of the reasons that the oil sector is also mentioned in this non-oil sector report. Apart from that, lower interest rates in the UAE, attractive valuations will keep continuing to boost the demand in real estate, especially in the luxury segment. Yesterday we talked about Mandarin Oriental, which are the makers of the Emirates Palace in Abu Dhabi. Great place, a lot of movies. Recently one of the movies was shot at there, a Bollywood movie. It's a great place. If you've never been to Abu Dhabi, if you only have 2 hours, just go to Abu Dhabi and go to Emirates Palace.
I mean,
of the best buildings I've seen.
I
Burj Khalifa is Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, but
like, Emirates Palace is Emirates Palace.
Emirates Palace, you know. And as well, you know, I wanted to say one thing is that I love how the UAE as a country, and not only the UAE, Saudi Arabia, they did not like. They were aware of the fact that you know, there's a lot of tension and political stuff that are happening across the Middle East, and that their oil might not be the ultimate source forever that they can count on. So they led. So they went for the option of, like, you know what, let's boost our economy through non-oil without oil, and they did. But now
they're doing a very good job.
They did an amazing job. However, with like their expectations to rebound with a 7.8% increase with OPEC, with oil, just shows, you know what, they are like actively working to boost their economy.
And it's a very good balancing act. They're not just relying on oil, and they're not just relying on non-oil.
Yes.
They're making it go hand in hand together. 100%. And again, fossil fuels, one of the very oldest discussions that it's a greenhouse catastrophe. It creates a greenhouse effect, and you know about weather and let's not go into meteorological discussions, but again, all the fossil fuels, they burn, and they hazard. There's a environmental hazard, and UAE is very big on sustainability. So that is one of the reasons. It's not the primary reason for shifting towards non-oil economy. It's one of the very big reasons, actually. So yeah, that is happening. Very small, cute story coming out of Dubai as well. There's a luxury wardrobe sharing group. Best kept shared. They've acquired Bazaara. Bazaara was a P2P, peer-to-peer fashion rental marketplace. So they've both become one. You go to the Bazaara website, it redirects you to Best Kept Shared. Best Kept Shared has acquired Bazaara. They haven't told us about how much money they made out of it. But it's a very nice story from Dubai, entrepreneurial story. So Best Kept Shared, a Dubai-based fashion startup and leading peer-to-peer designer rental marketplace. If you don't want to buy a $100,000 designer dress, just rent it out from them, has acquired Bazaara. It's a peer-to-peer fashion resale platform. So Bazaara used to sell already loved, pre-loved stuff.
Yeah.
And Best Kept Shared used to rent it out. So now they're combining together the resources. And Best Kept Shared will gain access to nearly 40,000, if I read correctly, people who are already using Bazaara. So the financial details were not disclosed, as I told you. But Bazaara was recently founded in 2021 by Alyssa Mariano. And it previously raised $230,000 in pre-seed round led by Flat 6 Lab. If you don't know about Flat 6 Lab, Flat 6 Lab is a small, it's not small, it's actually in a lot of countries, but it's like an incubator program where startups can go and they get basic funding and they can work on their idea and make the whatever they're making, service, app, platform, whatever. And that helps you get the basic funding. And then they also help you get to the people who actually have the money to invest in you. So yeah, they came out from Flat 6 Labs UAE. So yeah, the acquisition is good.
I mean, I really like that. I really like the idea because at this point, I feel like we are now living in a world where people are looking, or not looking, people are not looking towards like really putting a lot of money towards luxury items or let me tell you, like maybe clothing. You know what I mean? Like someone, people would definitely think in a way like, you know what, if something is good quality, I'll buy it. I don't want to buy, they don't want to buy like 2,000 dirhams dress for like a wedding, and it's a wedding, you know what I mean? Like it's like, I mean, that's what I would do. And I think that's a very smart as well initiative.
Great
because
idea.
As well, it's very good for the environment, you know what I mean? It's very good. People are, as well are like, they're avoiding fast fashion. They're looking towards sustainable fashion. And of course, the UAE is going to support to be supporting that because it aligns with UAE's environmental goals.
Every big publication has a report about fast fashion. If you go and just Google fast fashion, everyone has a big report, a very detailed long form report or a video documentary that how it's ruining the environment because the dye is used in it. And then the all the waste, like you use a t-shirt two or three times and just throw it, the waste that it produces. It's a very big concern right now in the world. Farah was very good to point it out that fast fashion. This actually takes fast fashion out of question. You take a good big designer dress, rent it out, take care of it, and just return it and pay a nominal fees for it.
Literally, I think honestly that's a very smart idea. It's very sustainable. It's convenient. Yeah. You're not losing your money, and you're as well looking good.
Yeah, main part, you're not losing a lot of money because maybe you'll use it once and then you won't go to an event which can like cater to that kind of a flashy dress.
100%.
So yeah, good for people that they have combined their resources and now you can rent and buy both of them. So good for you. Thank you very much for joining us today. Smashy Business Show is live every day. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 5 days of the week. We talk about business, tech, entrepreneurs, anything and everything happening in the Middle East and all the big global events as well. Thank you very much for joining us. If you missed any part of the show, You can go to our socials, you can go to YouTube, click on the like part and just rewatch the whole show, get all the information that we had and we gave it to you. Apart from that, we have a newsletter which comes out every morning. You can go to all our socials and you can find the subscribe link there. The newsletter has all the information that you need from the previous day and some part of it from the early morning as well. We try to keep it as updated as possible. When you read it, 6:30 a.m. in the morning, the very first thing in your inbox should be the Spashy Business newsletter because it's such a good product. I personally write it. Our team writes it. We put a lot of hard work into it. So yeah, just go subscribe to it and follow us on all our socials. We're everywhere on listening platforms, video platforms, social media platforms as Smashy Business. So just go and follow us and enjoy looking at all the stories that we do throughout the day. This is the Smashy Business Show signing out. It's a Smashy Business production, part of the larger Augustus Media Network, which has 1.3 million viewers. I'll keep quoting this number again and again now. It has 1.3 million listeners across platforms monthly. So yeah, you're part of it if you're listening to it. Thank you so much. And take care. Bye-bye. See you on Thursday.